good news.
So John Deere gives us good news every Sunday night so we can go to bed happy about how the world is progressing. So he's here to wrap up the year for us as well. Hello, John.
Hello, good evening, Sarah.
Now, we have talked quite a bit about plastic bags. So let's start with good news about how we did our shopping this year. It wasn't just about plastic bags. There's some other good news on sustainable shopping.
Look, there certainly was. We managed to start getting into the habit of having those reusable bags, but there were a lot of different things happening where we were starting to get a lot greener and more environmentally friendly with our shopping. So one thing we talked about earlier this year was that amazing Los Angeles company that came up with an eloquently simple idea of launching toothpaste tablets to replace, you know, toothpaste tubes. And what was interesting about that, you know, we throw away literally billions of tubes of toothpaste, and, you know, those get used, they get thrown out every year. So a Los Angeles-based company called The Kind Lab have come up with a product called Bite Toothpaste Tablets. Now, you get 64 tablets in a small glass jar that you can reuse or recycle. When you're ready to brush your teeth, you pop a tablet in your mouth, you wet your toothbrush, and you start brushing, and the tablet dissolves and foams up just like you used to with normal toothpaste. So it's a great idea because it totally eliminates the need for that traditional toothpaste tube that so many of us throw away.
And there's a shampoo bar as well.
Yeah, that really went off on social media this year, didn't it? It was like the Lush shampoo bar. And again, if you think about how many hundreds and hundreds of millions of bottles of shampoo, like the empty plastic shampoo bottles that get thrown away every single year, some of them thankfully get recycled, but a lot of them get thrown. So they came up with an idea of, well, why don't we have a shampoo bar? And, you know, it's something that you rinse with water, and then you foam it up in your hands and then push it through your hair. And they have lots of different types of ingredients to give it different smells and different textures with your hair. So great to see something that, you know, literally just comes as a normal bar of soap, minimal packaging, and it replaces quite a lot of shampoo and bottles, so yeah. Really good idea.
Now, I'm not a shopper. I actually hate shopping, but I've been very conscious this year of what I've been buying and taking my own bags for Christmas. But there's been some good news about how we think about fair trade and sales on products that carry a fair trade label as well.
Yeah, look, fair trade is really important. And I think all of us listening now should, wherever we can, try and do the right thing by buying fair trade certified goods and products. The good news is that the sales of those products rose 8% last year to almost $13.6 billion. Now, what is exciting about that is the top seven fair trade products generated, it's estimated, about $286 million in premiums for farmers and worker organizations. So that means a more livable wage for people who are really on the breadline. And it also means the ability to put more food on the table. It means putting kids into education. And where you have the fair trade label assisting farmers and worker organizations, you know, it makes a real difference in those communities. So if you are able to spot fair trade products, and there are a lot more of them now in mainstream supermarkets in Australia, you know, do try and get them.
Mm. And we talked to you about insects this year and eating insects. Why was this good news?
it didn't sound like it at the time, did it? You know, what was interesting was that Sainsbury's was the first UK supermarket, you know, this year to stock edible insects and the snacks themselves are called Eat Grub, which the name was awful, you know, never mind the whole idea. It had a smoky barbecue crunchy roasted crickets, and they're now selling them in 250 stores across the UK. The idea behind this is that insect snacks are more sustainable than pork scratchings. That's the way it's being sold.
I don't think it's going to replace the Christmas ham yet, but yeah.
It's not. They're saying it's more, you know, the Brits call chips crisps, you know, they're saying it's more exciting than a crisp.
Right.
Well, it's certainly, you know, you can tell a better story with it, but they cost about £1.50 for a 12-gram bag of insects. Apparently, they're very, very good for you environmentally. Of course, they use a lot less resources than, you know, normal food that we eat, you know, like meat-based food. And interestingly, there were other UK retailers such as Fortnum and Mason and Selfridges, so the high end of town, have also started stocking edible bugs. So there's a bit of a trend happening there in the UK. Whether it happens here in Australia, Not so sure, but of course, in lots of countries around the world, huge numbers of people eat insects as a regular matter, of course.
Yeah. All right. What was the good news about environmentally friendly wood and paper products this year before we get to transport?
Well, you know, Bunnings and Officeworks, I've got to take my hat off to them this year. They both announced that they will only stock Forest Stewardship Council FSC certified products by 2020. You know, Bunnings has said that it wants to ensure that all its timber and wood products come from legal and well-managed forest operations. Officeworks, you know, they've had a long-standing commitment to sustainability. They have a goal of making sure that all their copy paper is either 100% recycled or FSC certified by 2020. And, you know, by doing that, that can encourage places like, you know, the logging companies in Victoria, you know, with Vic Forests, it can encourage them to make that switch to FSC to make sure that, you know, they have a market for things that actually make a difference for wildlife and for our forests.
I've really noticed this year a big trend in so many companies who have environmentally responsible and socially progressive and helpful policies, you know, like our Lou toilet paper that half the proceeds go to toilets in developing countries and it's recycled, and it seems to
be... Is that the who gives a crap?
Who gives a crap, yes. And it's just clever marketing, good people doing good things. It seems to me, I think, a rising... I don't think it's just a trend. I think it's a rising economy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's where people want to improve their supply chain and make sure that, you know, we don't have time as customers to go out and do all this research, but if we know that the companies we buy stuff off go and do that research for us, go and buy products that really make a difference. They don't have to be niche things that help the environment. They could become a lot more mainstream. And I think we're now starting to see that happen.
John Dee is with us. We're doing the good news. A shout out to Min, who's texted in saying, the good news for me is I started seeing live music again at 58. It's been wonderful. Little venues around town, Camelot, Lazy Bones, and tonight Perry Keys and Tim Friedman. I think Min might be in Sydney. So that's good. Getting out and about again after years of not getting out and about. Good. Get out and see some live music. All right, let's talk. I did mention wildlife very briefly and the good news about mountain gorillas. So they're off the endangered or the critically endangered list.
This is really good news. As we all know from lots of documentaries over the years and that big feature movie, mountain gorillas were facing near extinctions. But there was news this year that the population of mountain gorillas is slowly rebounding. Now, the International Union for Conservation of Nature, that's the organization that tells you how these animals, what their status is. So they've updated the status of mountain gorillas from critically endangered to endangered. Now, a decade ago, there was an estimated population of about 680 mountain gorillas. The estimate now is that there are just over 1,000 of these animals in the wild. Now, of course, these mountain gorillas live in Rwanda, Uganda, the Democratic Republic of the Congo. So these are war-torn areas, still very poor countries. So this news is really exciting because a lot of that ecotourism that's been going on to go and look at mountain gorillas is playing a direct role in helping those the populations of those gorillas to rebound, which is great to see.
And there was some good news about an invasive species of ant that's been eradicated this year. Where was that?
So that was on Lord Howe Island. There has actually been a couple of really good news stories in Australia on eradication of problems. So on Lord Howe Island, they're officially free of the African big-headed ant. And now that's quite a big deal. It's the world's first successful eradication of the ants on an oceanic island. That project began back in 2012 when the CSIRO were asked for help by the Lord Howe Island Board. And over the last 6 years, they've been working hard to get rid of that ant. And the good news is they've succeeded. And of course, we also spoke earlier this year about the feral cats that are close to being eradicated by the indigenous rangers on a remote island in the Gulf of Carpentaria. So we're seeing some good positive results happening when it comes to getting rid of invasive species, which is great.
That reminded me, I saw this year the biggest cat I've ever seen in my life that was feral and alas alive when I went out bush this year. But that's definitely one of been my good news, was a trip out to outback New South Wales. All right, what about the French Navy? How are they using albatrosses to stop illegal fishing?
Well, this is such a clever idea. So France is responsible for patrolling hundreds of thousands of square miles of the Indian Ocean. So the French Navy decided to equip 250 albatrosses with tiny transceivers that they put on the back of the albatross. It doesn't affect their ability to fly. The idea of those transceivers is that they pick up trawlers' radar signals. Now, the reason for that is if you're a fishing vessel that's fishing in prohibited waters in the Indian Ocean, you're likely to attract the attention of albatrosses because they like to hang around fishing boats. So when an albatross comes near a boat in that region, the transceiver on their back sends info to the Navy. The Navy can then use that data to identify ships who shouldn't be there off those remote French islands in the region. So a very clever way.
Oh, they're spies, albatross spies. Yeah,
unwitting spies, right, as they go about looking for food with these illegal fishing boats. It's a very clever, very simple idea.
Right. Well, and I hope it doesn't put them in danger, because it's bad luck to kill one anyway, isn't it?
It certainly is.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about cleaner transportation. We've talked a bit about, quite a lot about electric car chargers this year, and the hydrogen train, which was exciting. What's the latest on that? Was that in Germany, the hydrogen train?
Look, it is. They've got two hydrogen trains now. They're operating on a 100-kilometer train route in northern Germany, and it's been built by Alstom, the big French TGV maker. And they're the first hydrogen trains to enter commercial service anywhere in the world. It can run for around 1,000 kilometers on a single tank of hydrogen, which is similar to the range of the diesel trains that those hydrogen trains are designed to replace. So they're aiming to put them onto urban train lines, which are not electrified. And of course, talking of electrification, the big success story this year in Australia was Tritium. They're a Brisbane-based company. They make the world's fastest electric car chargers. So the best technology in the world in that space is Australian. And in Europe, Ionity, which is this big network of major car manufacturers, they've come together to put high-speed chargers onto the German autobahns and other motorways around Australia. They're installing Australian technology. And those car chargers, if your car can take this kind of charge, they can give you 150 kilometers of range in 5 minutes and about 300 kilometers in 10 minutes. And if you're going to sit down and have a proper coffee, you can come back 15 minutes later with 450 kilometers of charge. So that's Australian technology taking
fast
over the world.
Fast and furious. All right. What was your favorite good news about renewable energy this year, John? Which is your big passion?
Well, my favourite one is RE100. I've helped to start the Australian side of that. It's where you've got a lot of major companies from around the world have decided to go 100% renewable with their energy needs. So you've got people like Google, Facebook, Microsoft, IKEA, you name them. There's like lots of huge companies that have signed up to do this. And about 37 big companies globally have actually already either got to 100% renewable status or are very near to it. Here in Australia, there are 76 companies that have parents operations overseas that have signed up to go 100%. And so we've already seen companies like Mars have already gone 100%, moved to go 100% renewable. They've done a 20-year deal to buy solar power from the Kiamal Solar Farm in northern Victoria, where they've got 700,000 solar panels, feeding electricity into the grid on behalf of Mars. You've got Commonwealth Bank signed up to be the first Australian-owned company to go 100% renewable. The good news there is they've halved their use of energy already with energy efficiency. They've got solar panels on 50 of their branches, and they've now signed a deal so that from January the 1st, 65% of their power use around the country will come from a wind farm. So that we're starting to see really major change with major companies buying renewables. And one of the reasons they're doing that is not just environmental; they're actually also reducing the cost of electricity in their energy bills by anything from 15 to 45%.
All right, John. Well, you've been my good news for the year. I know you wanted a song, so I think I better play it for you before the news. But thank you for all your good news. It makes us feel good about being human over the year.
Have a great Christmas and have a great new year, everyone.
You too, John. All the best. John Dee, founder of Do Something with the Good News on a Sunday night. And I've got more good news texts coming in. I'll read after Abby Dobson. This is John's Song of the Year, So Divine. Thank you.